some announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones on audio or audio connection on mute if this time is representing or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first. Be sure to speak clearly. And attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Some meeting logistics. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationhigh.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School regular board meeting operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, November 28, 2023 at 1 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Mike Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank Lucasa?
Here.
Dr. David Rathgamer?
Here.
They're all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. Pledge of Allegiance, I'll ask Dr. Rathgamer to please lead us in the pledge.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Staff introductions, corporate officers.
Well, thank you, President Adams, members of the board. Staff in attendance, my name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Gary Minson will be attending later.
Later, okay. School superintendent.
Good afternoon, Shelby.
Thank you. Chief Operating Officer is not here. School staff.
Julie Butta, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
Billy Kyle, School Principal.
Thank you.
Val Nguyen, State and Federal Programs Coordinator.
Thank you, Val.
Good afternoon. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Legal Counsel.
Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
Thank you. And advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting today.
Good afternoon, President Adams and the full board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Geeta.
And good afternoon, this is Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the November 28, 2023, regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Right, Beth, I'll make a motion to approve Plan E.
And Brad Gabriel, second.
Thank you. That was the motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by David Rathgamer. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgamer?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item F. And your motion to approve the minutes of the October 17, 2023, regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
I am back. I'll make a motion to approve 1F.
David Rathgamer, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgamer. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgamer?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote. unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have four consent agenda items. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan. Number two, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction, an addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Number three, the board will be asked to approve the updated Sequoia Administrative Resources Agreement. And number four, the board will be asked to approve the updated Scholastic Educational Resources Agreement. Does any board member want to pull any of the consent agenda items for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 4.
Just quite a back. I'll motion to approve agenda item 2A, 1 through 4.
Thank you. David Rathgaber, I'll second. Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgaber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. Time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands here from the Charter Affairs team, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Going on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, Julie Potter.
Yes, good afternoon, board of directors. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. So I wanted to share the data update up to the beginning of LP5. These reports gave a top-level data points for important metrics such as student demographic, enrollment, credit completion, and graduation rate. With a snapshot of our schools at these specific time periods, our recruitment and orientation process has been highly effective this year, and OCI's enrollment continues to grow. As of today, November 28th, enrollment is currently at 200 students. And I want to thank Lily for all her support that she's putting forth to make sure that the enrollments are increasing. The next slide shows a breakdown of additional enrollment and academic data. Our utilization is at 89%, with overall credit completion average increasing from the last report to 2.63, and an overall average core credit completion increasing from the last report to 1.26. We're currently implementing a strategic focus on expanding tutoring to move students to improve core credit completion as part of our comprehensive support and improvement plan. And now I'll turn it over to Principal Liliana Childs for her area updates.
Good afternoon. We're continually looking to enhance and deepen our educational partner engagement. We held our Q2 PACA ELAC in our Title I annual meeting with a great turnout of over 20 students and family members. Students and parents were served dinner and refreshments, while important school information was shared, like our 23-24 LCAP infographic, which provides a simplified overview of our school-wide goals and budget, as well as our Title I program. Important academic supports like intervention programs and tutoring were discussed to share with families the difference our school's academic supports make. Families were asked to provide feedback on our school programs and how we can improve. Families were also provided our annual survey to take. Our Anaheim students joined 38 students from all across our region for a trip to UC Santa Barbara's campus. Students were able to hear from university advisors, speak with current UCSB students, explore the campus by visiting the library, cafeteria, and student union, and interact with other students to share their own post-secondary plans. Offering a full and well-rounded educational experience needs more than just high-quality academics, so we started an organized athletics program. Students from across our region were able to attend a field day to be introduced to our new athletics program, which is starting with flag football. Students learned about the program requirements, met coaching teams, practiced drills, and enjoyed a day of exercise and fun. We plan to expand our sports offerings with basketball and soccer in the spring. just held a trunk-or-treat event in our school parking lot during Halloween with over 90 community members attending. Staff and families decorated their trunks to pass out candy and spread joy during the holiday season around our school community. It was a fun-filled evening with students and their families and members of the surrounding community voting on the best decorated trunk with the spooky winning trunk shown on the right. It was lovely to see our students, their families, and little ones enjoy the holiday spirit with us. Our campus has been busy with VIOLA and college workshop opportunities for our students. Our VIOLA partner, Ready Set OC, held two more workshops aimed at workforce readiness for our students with topics on resume writing and personal branding. Community organizations, Hope Builders, also held two workshops to inform students of two paid certification programs in the construction and medical assistance fields. Lastly, CSU Domingo Hills Educational Opportunity Program came out to present to our students about the services they provide to historically low-income first-generation college students, such as academic advising, housing, and grant opportunities. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item B, finance update.
Thank you, board. I'd like to bring your attention to the Hanmi line of credit update. The document you're viewing on the top portion is the Hanmi line of credit for the school. It shows the school's line of credit at $500,000, and nothing has been drawn from the line of credit. The current interest rate is at 9%, and the expiration is January 3rd, 2024, and we're working with the bank to extend that for another year. We don't see any issues in that as we regularly calculate the covenant ratios, as you see on the screen, for the bank to reflect the financial health of the school, and the school does qualify for the continuation of the line of credit. And then on the bottom section, you'll see the LLAC promissory note that was approved by the board for this fiscal year at a fixed rate of 6%, and the school's promissory note line of credit is $300,000, and again, the school hasn't drawn from the line of credit. And this is for the board's information as an update as of October 31st, 2023. I also want to let the board know as far as the funding. As you all know, LCFF is the largest portion of the funding revenue for the school. We don't anticipate any more budget cuts or any changes to the funding for this fiscal year. As you all know, in California, the governor extended the tax filing as far as the penalty. So a lot of people didn't file their taxes. They're due in November. So then they haven't collected all the tax revenues for the state. So the state budget is kind of unknown at this time. They don't know how much they will collect. So therefore, we think by the time they collect the revenue, they'll push it to January, which is governor's normally January revision for the budget for next year. So if any changes, it will impact the next fiscal year. And then as far as the federal funding, the school receives Title I, and that's really the only item that might be reduced or stays level as last fiscal year. So those are my only updates. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, Title I program evaluation for school year 2022-2023.
I'm board. Our Title I school-wide program supports our literacy program. Our students who struggle with academic performance need additional intervention and supports personnel to effectively address their learning gaps. Federal funding is directed towards hiring literacy and intervention staff who will implement research-based educational strategies such as intervention curriculum and one-on-one tutoring. Through these dedicated personnel and academic strategies, we expect student outcomes will improve based on academic metrics. For our Title I program evaluation, 216 students took the NWA reading and math test. This allows us to identify students for literacy or math support. Average Lexile score was 988.9. Of the 37 students identified for literacy support, 33, or roughly around 89%, were able to effectively use our literacy intervention program. While we did not meet our goal of 100%, this is a 23% increase from the previous year, and we are proud of that. We have some recommendations based on these findings. So we recommend extending the intervention outreach services and student engagement efforts to increase student participation. We recommend prioritizing core credit completion. We recommend follow-up during the onboarding process for new students so that we can have early identification, referral, and placement into literacy intervention. And we also recommend personalized learning plan file reviews for our English learners and reclassified students to ensure that their individualized learning plans and the RFET monitoring forms are implemented for progress monitoring and intervention support. Next slide, please. Our Title I Parent Engagement Funds are funds that are directed at meaningful and engaging parent events, such as our Title I annual meeting and our PAC and ELAC meetings. These events have expenditures to support the activities, such as transportation, food, and other meeting materials. We're really proud of our ongoing improvement with parent engagement as we strive to provide vital information. Our PAC and ELAC meetings had 67 participants during the last school year. For our annual survey, 39 parents completed the survey, and 90% stated they feel encouraged to participate. While we are increasing our attendance of meetings, the consistency of repeated participants remains low, and this is something we're actively working on improving. We also know we must increase the number of parents filling out our annual survey. Towards these goals, we recommend the following. Continue to refine agendas and presentation content so that information is concise and parent-friendly language. An earlier start to the annual survey window with strategic plans for promotion and messaging of importance. Requesting time in our PAC and ELAC meetings to allow for explanation of the information to parents. Provide a meeting at varying times so that more parents can attend. Continue to reach out to more parents through a variety of methods for all of our activities, and continuing all of these activities and recommendations. Thank you for allowing me to share this information. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, academic data update. Julie Parra.
Yes. Hello again. And now I'll provide additional academic indicators. For our math and ELA, just kind of looking at our progress, we're prioritizing core credit completion to support proficiency in math and English. Our literacy intervention includes literacy workshop and writer intensive SGI courses provided targeted support to our students. Our math teachers have created in-house instructional videos for all math credits, Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2, and Personal Finance as a supplemental academic support. We're also in the process of building a two-year Algebra 1 option to provide students more time to build algebraic fluency. And for our NWA, our tutors are providing NWA testing support with dedicated one-on-one tutoring to prepare for the test. We focus on building successful conditions for test taking with healthy breakfast and nutrition, incentivizing best efforts, and creating a supportive environment for students during testing time. We still, the window closes December 15th, so we still have a little bit of more time, but you can see the data, we're almost, you know, closer to 100%, so we're working towards that. In regards to LPAC, proficiency on the LPAC is critical to academic success for our English learners. Students, as an overall score of 4 is one of the criteria for reclassification eligibility. We have dedicated EL lead teacher as well as an EL prep professional to support students with progress monitoring, target intervention, and administering LPAC test prep. We also formed a dedicated ELD guiding coalition consisting of administrators, prep professionals, and our EL lead teacher to analyze student data, monitoring progress through the individualized English language development plans and RFET forms, and design targeted academic interventions for our students. Next, we have CAS. The California Assessment for Student Progress and Performance System consists of Smarter Balance Summative Assessment in Math and English, in which our 11th graders take, and California Sign Test, which was taken by each student once the 12th grade is here. That'll be happening in the window opens at the beginning of April, and it closes at mid-May. And so, you know, the expectation is 90% and the team, 95%, the team is doing a great success with that, and we continue for this upcoming spring testing season. And lastly, graduation. We're focused on expanding our one-on-one academic support by 50% to increase the number of students benefiting from tutoring. Our tutors are focusing on supporting all students with core credit while making sure English learners and new students receive early intervention to access to tutor services. And as you can see, we have 2 out of 20. And keep in mind, our graduation is going to be May 24th. And we're looking forward to our counselors supporting our seniors, particularly these one-year grad cohort rate, to get them to 100% graduation rate. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, action items. Item A. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2023 annual audit report for the school. Gita Shreepi.
Thank you, board. I'd like to introduce Brian Hadley. He's one of the partners at Wilkinson Hadley King and Company, LLP. They are the third party auditor for the school. They've done the audit. They do it every year, so he's here with us, and I will defer to him because it's his report to present this to the board. Thank you so much. Brian?
Thank you. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to present the audit at the board meeting this afternoon, and I'd just like to give a real brief overview of the audit, and then if there are any questions you have, I'd be happy to answer those at the end. I want to remind the board that Wilkinson Hadley King is an approved auditor by the California State Comptroller's Office to perform K-12 audits for local education agencies. Approved auditors must comply with the California Department of Education and the California State Comptroller audit guidelines. And then any non-material items or recommendations are communicated to your audit team during the course of the audit. If we turn to page number 2 of the audit report, that's the independent auditors, that's the letter, the opinion letter, and you received, or the school received, an unmodified opinion, which means that in all material respects, the financial position of the school is reflected in the financial statements, and so that's the opinion that you want to have. You received an unmodified opinion. There is one new item in the letter. If you look at under that highlighted paragraph that says emphasis of matter, changes in accounting principle and policy, you'll notice that there are two items discussed. One was a new accounting pronouncement regarding leases, and that applied to all governmental entities. That was a new thing that was required to be included in the financial statements this year. And you'll see as we talk about the financial statements how that impacted them a little bit later. And the second one was a change in policy regarding the capitalization policy. We had previously capitalized assets that cost $5,000, and now we increased that threshold to $10,000. If you turn to page number 5 of the audit report, this is the statement of financial position. You know, for a non-governmental entity, it would be the balance sheet. It shows what it shows the assets that you own, and it shows the amounts that you owe as of June 30, 2023. And you can see that, you know, that first heading is the assets. You can see that the largest assets are cash, accounts receivable, and then there's this new one, right-of-use assets, operating leases for facilities and equipment of about $453,000. That was one of the things that needed to be added, that was required to be added to the financial statements this year under that new lease, requirement. You can see that your total assets are almost $2.2 million. The liabilities, the largest liabilities are accounts payable, payroll, and related liabilities. And you can see there are two new liabilities added, the leases payable operating, leases payable financing. The difference between those two is an operating lease, the simplest way to describe the difference is under an operating lease, the ownership of the asset or the leased item doesn't transfer to the school during the term of the lease, and under a financing lease it does. You can see that your assets of $2.198 million exceed your liabilities of $1.033 million by $1.165 million. And that's called net assets, total net assets down near the bottom of the page. And of that total net assets, $272,000 is restricted for state programs. And there's a footnote in the financial statements that shows you what those state programs are. If you turn the page to page number 6, this is the statement of activities, or in a non-governmental audit, it would be the income statement. It shows your revenues and your expenses. You're in the middle of the page in the far right-hand column is the total revenue support and gains, and it's a little over $4.8 million. Of that $4.8 million, $3.599 million is related to the local control funding formula, or money that you receive from the state, and that consists of state aid, the education protection account, and property taxes. So, you know, the money that you receive from the state is definitely the most significant portion of your total revenue. Your total expenses are listed in the far right hand column as $4,675,951, and they're just lumped into two broad categories. We'll turn the page and see what those categories consist of in just a minute. But and so your revenues exceed your expenses, which is called the change in net assets, by $170,874. If you turn the page to page number 7, you can see how those total expenses are allocated between program service expenses, or things that the school spends on education and supporting services, which are things that the school spends on management and general costs. And you can see that of the total expenditures of $4.675 million, $4.315 million is spent on educational programs, which is a very good ratio to have. It's about 93% of the total expenditures are spent on program service expenditures. I did want to give an example. If you turn to page number 17, you know, the footnotes talk about items that are enumerated or listed in those first three pages of the financial statements. And this is just an example, for example, that you can look at to see some of the information that's contained in there. This page talks about accounts receivable. It talks about the prepaid expenses and the property and equipment. And you can see that, you know, the total accounts receivable, footnote D, is $496,000. And that amount ties to the amounts that were reported on the statement of financial position on page 5 of the financial statement. But it shows that the receivables are broken down between receivables from the federal government, the state government, local government for property taxes, and then other local sources. And it shows, you know, what your prepaid expenses consist of, and it shows your property and equipment. So that's just an example of some of the items that are contained in the footnotes. If you're looking for, you know, further guidance or further explanation on amounts that are listed on those first two pages, you can turn back to the footnotes, and hopefully there will be something there that will provide you some additional explanation. The last item that I'd like to talk about is if you turn to page 34 and 35 of the financial statements, this is the portion of the audit where if there are things that need to be brought to the board's attention or to the California Department of Education's attention or the state controller's office attention, those are listed here. And you can see that as findings. And you can see that for the year ended June 30, 2023, there were no findings to be reported on Orange County Workforce Innovation High School's audit report at June 30, 2023. And if you turn the page, you can see that in the prior year, for June 30, 2022, there were no audit findings that needed to be resolved in the 2023 year. So that's, you know, like I said, a real brief overview of the financial statements. If you had any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at this time.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5A?
Madam Beck, I'll make a motion to approve action item 5A.
Yep. David Rathgaber, I'll second. Thank you. That was a motion by Claudia Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgaber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item B. The board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 first interim report. Nita Shreepi.
Thank you, board. The document that we'll be reviewing today is Form 62. It's a form by California Department of Education. It's also in your packet and pages 399 to 406. I'll go over the report, and it is for the first report of the financial operations for the school for fiscal year 23-24, and it contains the first 4 months of operations from July 1st, 2023 through October 31st, 2023. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial sections include original budget approved by the board in June, and that's in column A. The revised budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget, as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial sections also provide projections of the school reserves and its components at the year end. I will highlight some areas for the board, but first we'll start with the ADA page, and that's the last section of the report. This shows the ADA used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on the current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the revised budget. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 217, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 233, an increase of 16 ADA that will have a positive impact on the funding sources that are based on the current ADA. Now we're going to go back to the first page and review the revenues first and then expenditures. On the revenue side, the school is projecting total revenue of $4.4 million. This is $251,000 higher than the school's original budget, and this increase comes from multiple changes that impacted the school's revenue sources. First, we'll start with LCFF sources. That shows an increase in projected revenue by $187,000 compared to the original budget. This source provides the biggest portion of the total revenue increase, and it is mainly due to an increase in projected ADA that I mentioned that impacted the base, supplemental, and concentration portion of the funding. Second is the federal revenue. That shows a decrease of $108,000 to $87,000. This included a slight increase in federal SPED and a decrease in Title I funds and other federal funds due to a decrease in utilization of ELO federal funds during this year. And then thirdly is the other state revenue. This shows an increase of $275,000 to $332,000. This increase comes from a combination of factors. First one is the Proposition 28, which is arts and music in school program. This is a new program which is ongoing. Funding sources that started in fiscal year 23-24. That was added to the school's revised budget. It was not included in the original budget, as at that time, no specific funding information was available for development while we were developing the budget. Special education and lottery revenue also increased due to a growth in projected ADA. And then lastly is the other local revenue, which shows an increase of $25,000 coming from interest and refunds. Now we're going to review the expense on Section B. On the expense side, the school is projecting a total expenditure of $4.3 million, showing an increase of $219,000 compared to the original budget. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $149,000, which is around 6%. This includes an increase in teachers, certificated administrative salaries, and classified instructional and administrative salaries, and a small decrease in support salaries. Budget for purchases increased from $288,000 to $346,000, which includes an increase in budget for school instructional materials and equipment spending. Budget for operating expenses remains at similar levels, showing a slight decrease from $1.39 million to $1.38 million. This includes a small increase in utilities, insurance, and professional services, and a decrease in communication facilities and training spending. After the current projection of the revenue and expenditures, the school is anticipating an excess revenue of $44,000. The net position section in Section F on this page shows a beginning net position of $1.1 million with a projected excess revenue of $44,000. The school will end up fiscal year 23-24 with a projected net position of $1.2 million. Of this total reserve, $207,000 is in capital assets, and $188,000 is in restricted funds. The projected ending unrestricted net position is $814,000, which will equal to around 18% of the total annual expenditures for the school, which is a pretty healthy financials for the school. And with that, I conclude my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear motion to approve action item 5B.
Beck, I'll make a motion to approve action item 5B.
Dave Dratkin, I'll second. Thank you. That was a motion by Claudia Beck, second by Dr. David Rathgeber. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Costa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
As four yes votes. Item C. Board will be asked to review and approve the Wilkinson, Hadley & King & Company LLP to prepare the school's 2022 Form 990 return of organization exempt from income tax. Either Shrevey.
Thank you, Board. This letter, the proposal is in your packet on pages 408 to 410. And with that, I just want to bring your attention to the engagement letter, and you can also see it on the screen. This is basically stating that Wilkinson, Hadley, King and Company is to prepare the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023 federal return of organization exempt from income tax Form 990, as well as its related documents. And also any other federal statements or schedules. Also, they will be preparing California Exempt Organization Annual Information Return. That's Form 199 with its related statements and schedules. On page 2, you can also see that it's noted in the engagement letter that the preparation fee is $1,350 for the corporation. And this amount was only slightly increased. Last year it was $1,300. And at this time, I would like to recommend to the board Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's Form 990 and other related tax forms and documents for the fiscal year ending 2023. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5C?
Beck will make a motion to approve action item 5C.
David Rathgeber, second. Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgeber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the Proposition 28 Arts and Music in Schools plan. And that's Julie Barra.
Yes, thank you. I'll defer to Val Nguyen.
Again, board. On November 8th of last year, California voters approved Proposition 28, the Arts and Music in Schools Funding Guarantee and Accountability Act. The measure requires the state to establish a new ongoing program supporting arts instruction in schools beginning in the 23-24 school year. This grant will enhance our program's ability to offer enriching arts education. Arts education program includes, but is not limited to, instruction and training, supplies, materials, and arts education partnership programs for instruction, dance, media arts, music, theater, and visual arts, including folk art, painting, sculpture, photography, craft arts, creative expression, including graphic design, computer coding, animation, music composition, ensembles, script writing, costume design, film, and video. So it's very broad for performing and visual arts. The funding allocated shall be available for use for up to 3 fiscal years, after which time the unexpended funds shall be reverted back to the CDE. Local educational agencies are required to report to the CDE the amount of unexpended funds by October 1st, following the conclusion of the expenditure period. An annual board-approved expenditure report will be required and posted to the school's website. And that's my presentation on this Arts and Music in Schools grant plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
I just wanted to ask Julie one thing. How are you going to figure out which one of those are you going to do? You have dance, you have music, you have art, you have sculpture. I mean, you have so many things to choose from.
So that's a great question. Right now, and that is a difficult one too, because we do have the arts and media entertainment already existing, and so Lily is going to be working with the team to get more insight from the students to see what's the most beneficial for the students. And given the time frame, we want to get this ball rolling early January. So it is a lot. It's a great question to ask, and I look forward to sharing with you in our next board meeting in February.
Great, thank you.
I'd love to see some dancing, though, to be honest.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5D.
I'll make a motion to approve 5D.
David Rathgeber, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgeber. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 6. Additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Well, thank you very much, and all of our board members. I would appreciate the staff, but I really noticed something this time that's really kind of slides by me a lot. That's the parent engagement. You had 20 students here, and you've had 20 parents actually show up at the dinners, and 67 parents. Now, granted, this. 2 parents in most cases. But that's a pretty big return on parents for a smaller school group. I want to congratulate the efforts being put forth by Bao and the team out there to make sure that these parents are involved, because through them is how we continue our growth and we continue our students coming. So I really appreciate that. Secondly, I want to really congratulate our CFO, Greta Schaferi, and Brian Hadley, and the amount of effort that goes into making these reports to us. And then we come out so clean. Not only can it happen because you guys are doing your job and not kind of making us sweep anything under the rug. So we got clean rugs and we've got good people out there. So thank you so much for your effort. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Does any board member have any observations or comments at this time?
I just like to say the same thing. I think it's great, too, because that's the thing that always worries me about the getting the parents in, because it's hard to get parents to come to these things. So when you can do that, that is absolutely amazing. So thank you so much.
Any other comments?
Yeah, this is David Rathgeber. About the arts and music program, everybody knows it's near and dear to my heart. And I believe that students that are engaged in these programs will actually see improvement in other areas as well. I know that you're, or I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect that you have no plans to capture hard data on that. But I would be interested as we move forward with these programs, just to get your sense or your feel of the impact that the programs have on the kids.
One of the terms of receiving this money is that we do provide the board an annual update, and we can make sure to include that in that update.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, we'll move on to item 7, closed session. At this time, I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session for public employee performance evaluation under Government Code Section 54957B1, titled Superintendent.
Senator Beck, I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
Thank you. Senator Rathgaber, second. Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck. Second by Dr. David Rathgaber. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams, aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lugasa.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are now going into closed session.
Okay, good. On a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgaber on a 4-0 vote, the board voted to adjourn the closed session and reconvene to the open public board meeting. No action was taken on the single item addressed in the closed session. Item 8, closing items. The next regular board meeting date is February 27th, 2023 at 11 a.m. May I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a motion by Claudette Beck, seconded by Dr. David Rathgaber. Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa. Frank.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Sure, why not?
All right. Claudette Beck, 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Good meeting.